We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We shift gears on a dime. Eric Eager, Vice President of Research and Development at Pro Football Focus. He joins us each and every Tuesday during the football season. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well. As somebody who loves the New Orleans area, I'll also counter with the fact that Pullman, Washington is beautiful, Bobby.
Well, yeah, it's like, what's in Pullman? I mean, it's not like a destination. Listen, I guess it's a college
like
town.
It's not like on top of your wish list.
You go to University of Washington, that's in Seattle. Pullman's in the middle of
nowhere. Taking a vacation in continental U.S., I'm going to Pullman.
Yeah, come on, Eric. are you a Cougar grad or what?
No, I just like the upper. I mean, I love partying in places like New Orleans and even Seattle, but I kind of like the scenery out there out in the upper midway, the upper northwest.
Yeah, it's
beautiful up there.
Yeah, it's a college.
It's a
town.
Different world than the bayou. That's all I know. Yeah. I know Tate told me, man, Mr. Mike is different here. Man, is it different here? Then he goes to, you know, Oklahoma State, and it's a little different there, too.
Yeah, Stillwater. Pullman and Stillwater, that's big metropolitan areas.
Eric, I want to start off with a question not related to the Saints, but how is Joe Burrow doing this year in terms of grades? Where does he stand amongst his peers?
He's having a wonderful year. I think especially if you restrict to clean pocket passing, so plays when he doesn't receive pressure, he is one of the best players in all of football. Even when you look at his downfield throwing, it improved a lot this year. I think the biggest thing that's really helped my view of him is once Ja'Marr Chase started to sort of have the rookie wall, Burrow had a couple rough games in a row, but he's mostly rebounded and used the T. Higgins and the Tyler Boyds of the world and rebounded in two big wins for the Bengals. They're 3-point favorites this week against the Chargers as they both fight for playoff spots. So I think if you're an LSU fan, if you're a Bengals fan, you can't be more impressed with what Burrow's brought in the first year and a half.
I just hope they protect him better down the road because I think that's going to be the key to Joe, keeping him healthy. Eric, one of the guys, man, I was so impressed with at Penn State, and then he decides to sit out last year. At that time, the Big Ten wasn't going to play football, and he made a business decision with Micah Parsons. And has he been an impact player? And you didn't see a lot of it at Penn State, him coming off the edge as a rusher. But you talk about a guy that can tilt the field. Micah Parsons has been an unbelievable player for the Cowboys coming off the edge as a pass rusher and also his ability to be disruptive in the backfield, tackles for losses.
Yeah, I looked at the numbers today. He has the most win shares above any of any linebacker in football. It was funny. I was talking to Peter King on Sunday night. We were talking about the league and where the Cowboys stood in it. I know that they're the opponent this week for the Saints. And we both brought up the comp of Lawrence Taylor. Like, I think when you look at the way that the linebacker position in the NFL has changed, right, guys are either off-the-ball guys, right, like so they're middle linebacker types, the Fred Warners, the DeMario Davises of the world, or they're sort of like pass rushers, right? They're, you know, the Marcus Davenports, they're the Justin Houstons, guys like that. And it's a real throwback to go back to a guy who can play off the ball, can play in coverage, and a guy who can also rush the passer better than everybody else. And that really is what Parsons has been so far. You look at that Dallas team, and I know they've lost a couple in a row, but you look at that team, DeMarcus Lawrence hasn't played much all year. Randy Gregory recently went out with an injury. He's kept that defense, you know, afloat for the past, you know, few weeks, and he's kind of done it single-handedly, especially if they're not getting interceptions from Trayvon Diggs. So, you know, I'm a big fan of his. I think that he was a most off-the-ball linebackers make it hard to really be all that valuable, but he's done it, you know, by adding to his repertoire all season in the pass rush game.
Now, Eric, I want to ask you about, the offensive passing game in today's world, and I'm looking at the Sean Payton era, the Saints during a Breeze running quarterback. The Saints were regularly ranked in the top five in both total offense and scoring offense. They led the league in one or the other category like eight times. So you're talking about, like, you look 15, 16 seasons. That speaks volumes right there. And the reason why I bring that up, I'm looking at our passing attack right now. We're 29th. And the reason why I bring that up, I would say offensive stats do matter in today's pass-heavy NFL. When you look at it, the 2019 Packers are the only team in the last four seasons to advance to one of the league's conference championship games without a top-10 offense. So when people say, oh, you don't have to have a top-10 offense and you're trying to make a championship and be in a conference championship game, it seems like you have to. Or you'd be kind of, I guess, an oddity if that would occur, considering what's happened the last four seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can even restrict it down to passing offense. I think you have to have a passing offense that's that good to do it. I know the Titans in 19 obviously went to the AFC Championship game on the back of Derrick Henry, but they averaged over 9 yards a pass attempt with Ryan Tannehill in there too. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to play good football on the offensive side of the ball to sustainably win games. You know, the Saints have shown this year you can win games with a great defense and a quarterback that plays above what you'd expect. And honestly, Jameis Winston was extremely efficient throwing the ball before he got injured. But, you know, when you don't have that, it just puts so much pressure on your defense to play really well. And I actually thought on Thursday night last week, they played okay defensively. They just didn't have, you know, any help from their offense, and they couldn't get off the field and that kind of thing. So we'll see what happens now that it sounds like Taysom Hill is going to start. Maybe that'll, you know, help them control the ball a little bit better. I know this particular week I thought it was an interesting anecdote that one of my colleagues said. Taysom Hill last year won two starts against Dan Quinn's scheme defense, right? The Atlanta Falcons. Quinn had been fired, but those were his schemes that they were running. Dallas runs a Dan Quinn defense, right, by definition. And so maybe there's some comfortability there with Taysom if he were to start on Thursday night. We have seen this number go down. They were 6-point underdogs. Now you're seeing it right around 4. So maybe some people are looking at the COVID situation with Dallas and thinking maybe this could be a place where the New Orleans Saints get right.
Now, you know, Eric, the only thing that bothers me with Taysom is that, to me, he gets sacked too many times.
And he puts the ball on the ground, too.
Yeah, fumbles. Like Mike's saying, look, at a four-game stint last season as a starter, it seems like, I don't know if he's going through his progressions quick enough, because, you know, he can run and avoid a sack. But in four games, he got sacked 13 times. That's way too many. And then if you look at it, he also fumbled 6 times in four games. So, I mean, now he's dealing with the plantar fasciitis in his foot. So, I don't know, they shoot him up or how that occurs. But if the Saints fans think that Taysom Hill's going to be a miracle worker against Dallas, I think how well they're playing, I think that's unrealistic. I think our defense has to play great to have a chance to beat Dallas.
Yeah, I think so. I also think, you know, Dallas is not – you know, the best team defensively, when you look at them, they've been buoyed a lot by sacks by Michael Parsons, which are certainly, you know, I think reasonable to assume that will happen. But the interceptions by Diggs were happening at an unsustainable pace. They do give up a lot of yards per play, and they are not necessarily a very efficient defense. So there might be some space there. But I do agree. I mean, I think when you look at just something like passer rating or whatever, that does ignore fumbles and it ignores sacks, and those are important plays. So he will have to get, you know, process the play better. And you can tell that's why Jameis was starting over him, because Jameis, for the faults that he had, you know, was becoming better in the pocket, and that's why he beat him out. I think that's reasonable for sure. And a lot of that is also, you know, last season, you know, the Saints only had really one good wide receiver. That was Michael Thomas. And, you know, Taysom was locking in on him. This year, they don't even have Michael Thomas. So the impetus is going to be on some of those receivers to get open, so Taysom Hill can get the ball out of his hands quickly.
Eric, I think the Cowboys' offense is so much better when they got CeeDee Lamb in there. I mean, you can tell he's a big play artist. He's a guy that is really improved as a route runner. He's not this big physical receiver. He's kind of a, you know, skinny, lengthy guy. But, man, he makes unbelievable catches. He's got another gear in space out in the open field. And he's a setup guy, man. He sets you up with a move, and then he gets open downfield. The impact when CD's on the field and when he's not playing, because it looks as though he'll be able to play this week.
Yeah, we have him as the sixth most valuable wide receiver in football. And like you're talking about, he's only really behind Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, former LSU player, and then, you know, guys like Tyreek Hill and I believe Stephon Diggs. So he's up there, and it's what you said. When he's off the field, it's really hard to win. And he's a very good yards after the catch guy. I think he struggles a little bit with drops, but I think that'll come. As he plays more. Dak is really comfortable throwing him the ball. He kind of reminds me of a cross between underneath kind of like a Nate Burleson, Golden Tate type player, and how good he is after the catch. But then down the field, he's just as good as some of these other guys in the league, the Adams and the Diggs of the world. So he's kind of the whole package, and it's really remarkable how much they go down without him and how much they go down without Cooper. And Amari Cooper, it does not look like he will be healthy enough to play on Thursday, which is a break for the Saints and has been a break for both the Chiefs and the Raiders as they play the Dallas Cowboys the last 2 weeks.
And Cedric Wilson not playing, most likely.
Yeah, and he's a good player, too. I mean, Noah Brown is, as good as fifth wide receivers come, but he's obviously not a starter in the league, and that helps, too. And I think, again, with the Saints, they have good secondary players, and the fewer wide receivers that are elite that they have to contend with, the harder it's going to be on Dak and company.
Speaking of that Dallas offense and, I said, okay, what's going to give? The Saints had number one rush defense going against the Eagles, number one rush offense. We all know what happened. They got gashed. Basically, in two games, Dennis Allen, last two times Jalen Hurts' first start in this season, they gave up like 500 yards rushing. So is that imperative that they try and make Dallas one-dimensional, even though, they have the number one offense, like the number six rushing, three passing? Because you always want to try and limit one area. How important that's going to be that Dallas, the Saints are able to limit Dallas in their rush attack?
Yeah, I'm not so worried about Dallas' run game if I'm the Saints, just because, the Eagles present a different challenge, right? When the quarterback can run and is willing to run 20 times a game the way that Jalen Hurts is, it's a different thing, right? You're playing 11 on 11, and that's a lot harder. And, while Dak Prescott is very athletic, I think, they're not a run with the quarterback team. So I don't think it's going to be
right.
It's going to present the kind of challenge that the Eagles did. And the other thing, and we know there were the reports that Ezekiel Elliott's banged up. I mean, as much as Dallas wants to use Elliott over Pollard, I think is a break for the team that they're facing, because Pollard is an extremely explosive back, and, you want to see him in space if you're Dallas. And if you're New Orleans, I think you want to see the ball going up the gut to Elliott because he's not well. And I think that's also going to be a break, because it does sound like they're going to use Elliott a lot in this game. To sort of like curb some of the pass rush that what the Saints have and so on. And I think that'll play to the Saints as well.
Eric Eager, Vice President of Research and Development at Pro Football Focus, host of the PFF Forecast. Eric, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.